Welcome to Spirit Healer, a Hearthstone Mercenaries podcast. Your resting point between quests. Let's join our hosts as we talk about this week's events in Hearthstone Mercenaries.
Welcome to Spirit Healer, a Hearthstone Mercenaries podcast, a podcast focused on taking you through Mercenaries news, updates, and weekly topics to keep you at the top of your Mercenaries game. I'm Dragonrider, joined as always by my fellow hosts, Cinder and Simba. How are you two doing today?
Phenomenal. How are you guys?
I slept all morning, so I feel great now.
Yeah, you were doing some other work not related to Mercenaries, yeah. But I think you got it done.
I'm not done yet either.
No.
Almost. I got about probably another day's worth of work. It's okay though. Everything's fine. But the part of the reason I was up so late was A, meeting the deadline, B, interspersing it with Mercenaries. So
well, that's good. Well, yeah, I guess we can jump into it then. The big news. I guess there was something that happened. Mercenaries is out. Yay! We have a patch.
Yep, came out.
We have a game mode.
The update wasn't too big. I got that updated super quickly so I could jump right back into the game. First thing I did was open my packs. I don't know what the first thing you guys did was. I mean, I dove into it, got the tutorial done, and then just spent like 10 minutes looking through packs. And I don't know. I've always enjoyed opening packs in Standard, so it's kind of the same.
Yeah, you kind of have to do like... at least like some of it before it lets you open the packs. So I wanted to open my packs first, but I was like, oh, I guess I got to play some.
It was, it's a little, we're kind of a slightly different vibe just because you get, there's so many coins that come out of it instead of cards. But yeah, like I hit some pretty, I think my first two packs had legendaries. So I was happy about that. I got, like Ragnaros was one of the first ones. Jeez, Ragnaros. It's
jealous.
So silly.
Wow. I think I only got one legendary. Granted, I only got one of the pre-orders. I do want to state that. So I had 50 packs, but I think I only got one legendary. I did get a bunch of epics, though.
Well, maybe. Well, see. So here's what I did. I didn't get in one of the pre-order bundles, but I saw that when I logged in, I found that I had some Blizzard credit for something. I must have returned something at some point in the past. So I bought the starter bundle and the little $5 pack that you can always also get. And it was pretty generous to me. I got, let's see, I'm looking at my collection now. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 legendaries. But I think Rexxar is automatic, I want to say, from something. So yeah, I got Garrosh, Grommash, Jiraxxus, and Ragnaros.
Well, I guess you would have gotten a legendary from that welcome bundle thing.
Two, actually. So if you got the $10
maybe
one and the $5
Rexxar
one,
was,
that's a minimum of two. The $5 one's going to give you a legendary, and the $10 one's going to give you at least a legendary and an epic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and actually, I'll just mention that real quick. So pretty much the notes or the news that we have for this week is just that, you know, the Mercenaries came out patch 24.1, and part of that is these bundles that we're talking about. So there's two of them that are in the shop. The first one is that welcome bundle, $4.99 US, and it has 10 mercenary packs and then one random legendary merc. And the launch bundle is $19.99 US dollars. And that includes 20 packs, one random epic, and one random legendary. So yeah, that's what Simba was just talking about. Also this weekend, there's going to be drops for watching, which is pretty sweet across, I think, all of the whole Hearthstone category. But watch any 2 hours of Hearthstone between 10 a.m. on October 15th and 10 p.m. on the 17th, and you'll get a free pack, and then 2 more hours after that, you'll get a second one, in addition to all of the other packs that we're unlocking from, like, the tutorial and stuff. It seems very generous so far with the packs.
I was actually surprised.
Yeah, I opened something like
packs than I was expecting. There's actually, like, twice the amount of coins as I thought there would be. So like some of the mercenaries that I have, as I'm up there upgrading their levels, I have just coins on coins on coins. I have almost 500 coins for one of my mercenaries to upgrade abilities and items and stuff. But I don't have more than 2 pages of mercenaries out of any category.
Yeah, I've definitely found that, like, excusing the legendary pulls, you know, I ended up with a lot of protectors for some reason. I have like 3 pages of protectors and 3 pages of fighters. Oh, wait, I'm looking in crafting. Ignore me. Okay, let's see. 2 pages of protectors, 2 pages of fighters, and actually, yeah, about 2 pages of... I got a fairly even spread. It's just like all my legendaries are in the protectors for some reason. But yeah, no, you're totally right. Like, the coins are fairly generous, but like, just how much upgrading goes into it, I feel like it's going to be a fairly decent grind for getting stuff like all the way leveled and upgraded.
Yeah, there's going to be a lot for sure. It's already felt kind of grindy, but I guess the rest of the episode now is just going to be us talking about what our experience has been so far. I guess as of recording, it's been out for like 26 hours. So
and one full day.
Really not that long. Yeah. One full day in the middle of a work week. Yeah. So that probably factors into how much a lot of us have been able to play. I mean, I do this stuff full time, so I was very fortunate to be able to just play all day yesterday and so far all day today. But how much have you guys gotten to play so far?
So I've gotten to play, I believe, like, I'm trying to think here, about 6 hours total across yesterday and today. I have made it through the Barrens on normal mode in my travel point. So heroic mode has been unlocked and Fellwood has been unlocked, but I haven't gone into those. And then I got into the fighting pit and I played probably less than 10 matches. Queue times aren't terrible, but they're kind of long. My rating's like 1500, which isn't super high. But again, I was just dabbling in there with like 6 hours of play. So.
Yeah, my experience was similar. It was, I don't have a play time, but it's only been a few hours, I imagine. I got one more thing to do. I think one more thing to do in the Barrens before I can get into Fellwood. And like my highest level mercs are like level 12. Yeah, like I'm definitely getting a Pokemon vibe in that like there's like this big impetus to finish the main content before you jump into the PvP. Because you don't have all the abilities unlocked yet, right? Like, I can't bring a competitive Pokemon team if I don't have all the moves learned. So it has that same kind of feel where I'm like, you know what? I'm gonna unlock everything for these mercs before I get into the PvP. Because I want to come into PvP with like a full set of whatever I want to play with, you know, so that it's like fully built and ready to, you know, there's nothing left to do with them, get all the items, etc. So it's gonna be a little bit before I think the PvP really opens up for people once they get their collections like totally nailed down.
Yeah, definitely. It's kind of interesting how they have that because, like, I don't know. I find it really interesting that you have to kind of unlock the PvP and then also you have to pay the gold to unlock it. So like you have to unlock it with playing through some of the tutorial stuff and paying for it, which feels like an interesting mix. I haven't decided if I like it or not because it doesn't feel as open maybe as like Battlegrounds did, let's say, because people could just play Battlegrounds even if they'd never played Hearthstone before. But now they have this Mercenaries where it's like, oh well, you can do this other stuff or upgrade things in your village with gold. But if they maybe haven't played Hearthstone or they stopped playing for a long time and then they came back, they don't have gold. So they might not be able to actually even unlock everything like somebody who's been playing.
I agree with that 100% actually. I noticed that like when you get wins, it'll give you like 10 scrolls or 11 scrolls for the reward track. But I haven't really noticed any earning of gold personally. I could be entirely wrong on that, but...
There is a bit of good news for any lapsed Hearthstone players, which would include me. The Return of the Hero stuff will give you a pretty generous gold stipend for just playing a few games. So it's pretty quick. I had some gold coming back in, not like a ton, and I've upgraded everything I can so far in Mercenaries, and I'm still sitting on 1,000 gold. So it's if you're a brand new player, you know, maybe I don't know what the rewards are like for brand new players, but at least for returning players, it's not too big of a hill to climb.
Assuming that players haven't used all their gold on like packs or something, yeah. And then all of a sudden this comes out and it's like, oh, I don't have any gold.
Yeah, that's definitely a an oof, you know, if you didn't save any gold for it. It's kind of like with all the PvE content from Hearthstone, right? Like, if you knew it was coming out, you always save, you know, as much gold as you can to unlock as many wings as you could without having to pay money dollars for it. So it's kind of the same thing. But yeah, it would be nice if you could just earn it solely through in-game and not have to spend in-game currency on it.
Or if you could unlock it with money. That's also made me think about that when you brought up the solo adventures. But like in the past, when they had those, you know, the wings that you're talking about of the solo adventures, there always was an option to pay real money or unlock with gold. But this is just gold. Like, you can't do like, here's $5 to unlock the fighting pit. Like, you have to use gold for it.
True.
Yeah, thankfully, I almost always have gold saved up. And a lot of the gold that I used came from the rewards track. So that was kind of nice. But I also play a lot. So I understand that statement coming from someone who plays a lot and is almost at, you know, tier 100, what, a month and a half into the rewards track, who doesn't even play as much as some other people who are probably at and way past, you know, level 100 is kind of an odd statement. But yeah, I don't think it was a ton of gold either. You know, if we were rocking thousands of gold or even, you know, multiple hundreds to unlock all these things, I think we talked about it costs like, what, like 900 gold for everything or something like that. And I think as far as affordability goes and obtaining gold, like 900 is not too big of a mountain to climb regardless of how you're getting there.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, one of the side effects of coming back into the Hearthstone client is I actually started playing a little bit of Hearthstone again. It's like, hey, you know, why don't you play two games? We'll give you some rewards. I'm like, all right, cool. I'm like, oh, wow, that's right. I liked this game at one point. This was fun. And it's still fun. You know, it's, you know, I guess I should say, like, people probably wonder what the heck happened. Where did Cinder go to? Well, I was kind of upset with Blizzard for a while with their treatment of Taiwan. You know, and I think a lot of people know what happened with Blitzchung and some other things, but I think they're getting better. I think they're doing better as a company after being called out on stuff. So I want to support Team 5 because the Hearthstone team still remains like one of the best teams out there. You know, they're full of really good people and we know some of those people personally. So I want to support them. That's part of the reason why I've decided to come back.
Well, let's talk about our general feelings, or how have you all liked it so far? I would like to hear from two of you. I feel like I've been talking about this mode nonstop for like 2 days. So, Simba, let's hear from you first. How have you liked it so far with what you've gotten to play?
So far from what I have gotten to play, I like the fighting pit and the PvP content even more than I thought I would. Which is awesome for me because I don't have fully upgraded mercs. It's actually a lot of thinking and placement and taking your turns carefully and stuff like that. As far as the PvE content, I'm enjoying it. I think I'm enjoying it less than I thought I would. But again, I'm only through the Barons in the normal mode. The reason that I'm enjoying it less than I thought I would is because I feel like some of the encounters I will actually like disassociate and get bored, like because I'm looking at it and I'm like, okay, it's an easy win, click 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 click. And although side note, the AI does do a good job of attacking in what my opinion is correctly, you know, like it goes for the critical hits, it goes for the combos most of the time, which is awesome. I feel like if I want to use new mercenaries though, right, say I have beat, you know, level 7, 8, 9, 10, and I'm like, all right, I want to use new mercenaries. I have to either risk losing, putting them in a comp with some of my stronger mercenaries, going into some of the stronger PvE content, or just start back at the beginning again, doing, like, beating things that I have already beaten. And I feel like I'm going to have to do that many a time. You know, grab a bunch of level 1 mercenaries, start back at the very, very beginning of the Barons on normal mode, level, you know, what, 4, I think that is, and fight my way on up. So I'm holding out for the PvP to stay exciting. That's kind of giving me my motivation to continue in the PvE content. I'm also hoping that some of the farther on heroic PvE content requires some super cool builds, like the really, really old Hearthstone stuff used to do, like back with Naxxramas and stuff, and you had to, you know, bring in certain decks to beat the PvE content. You couldn't just bring in any deck and win. like they you get waxed and you get sent back out out of the single player content, and that kind of stuff is fun to me. Stuff that I can't just auto win. I honestly enjoy losing and having to put together specific comps or bring all my strongest characters in just to beat the AI. So overall, though, good experience. Again, it's been one day, and I'm hoping for that to just continue on an upward trend throughout the next couple weeks.
Yeah, I think I think you're totally right on kind of the comparison to some of the PvE in Hearthstone. Like my favorite thing and that Hearthstone ever did was the puzzle mode type of stuff, where they just gave you a huge complex board and you had infinite time and you just had to figure out how you're supposed to make this happen. Like, I remember the what was that warlock spell that did one damage like repeatedly every time it killed a minion?
Two cost defile.
Oh, defile. Yeah.
Yes, it was this huge defile puzzle that had like multiple, like the board was full, it had multiple death rattles, and you had to like figure out how to get through it. That's the kind of stuff I like. And the early PvE content Mercenaries definitely has like some you know, snooze fests, like autopilot stuff, but that's kind of okay, because you like with Ragnaros, y'all, Ragnaros is silly. If you don't have Ragnaros, you should go get him. But because he will just steamroll an entire low level encounter like by himself, because right now, just at level, I think I'm level 12 with Ragnaros. Let's see. Ragnaros is, yes, he's level 12. I have Die Insect upgraded to rank 3, and it's deal 18 damage to a random enemy, death blow, repeat this. So like some of those early encounters, you just they all have less than 18. Just whoop whoop whoop, done. Okay, cool. Like I'm done in 2 minutes. I leveled a bunch of mercs up to like level 8. This is great. But once we get into that deeper PvE content, which we really haven't seen yet, I have a sneaking suspicion that it's going to get really difficult, and it is going to require some very specific comps and some big brain puzzle work to get those finished. And I'm really excited for that, because that'll like give me something to shoot for with that PvE grind that we're talking about. Like, yes, I want to get all my stuff leveled up, but I want to have an engaging reason to do that. And I think I have a sneaking suspicion that it's going to be like that. Cause like some of the later encounters, even in the Barrens, I, you know, cued into it. I was like, okay, whoa. Okay. Calm down. We were cruising with Rag before, and all of a sudden we're going to be like this now. Okay. All right. Okay. That's cool. We can work hard at this. And I washed out of like, one of the earlier ones, like, the centaur, whatever his name is. I washed out of that one the first time because he was way tougher than the lead up encounters. I was like, oh, okay, gonna have to go upgrade some stuff and come back. So
yeah, that was Kotobane. I did the same thing because it goes 7, 8, ooh, 10, 13, and I wasn't paying any attention, right? I just was like, okay, next one, and I was like, oh, I should probably go do level 8 again like 3 times so that I can beat this.
I think I saw you do that on stream, and you had one mercenary left, and it was so sad. One little lonely mercenary.
One guy, and I'm pretty sure it was Anduin.
And you're like,
and I was like, I can't do this.
Like, just lonely little Anduin, and then there's Kotobane, and all of a sudden you're like, whoa, what? What is this ability? Like, it deals 15, and then it's gonna deal double, and it's like, okay, yeah, that's not gonna work.
Yeah, deal 15 damage to any mercenary that has acted, and I was like, but that's double because he's blue. Nope. Oof. Nope. We're out. Reset.
Yeah, that one's an interesting one. Yeah, that one, like, that one alternates his yes, like what he does. So, yeah.
I'm gonna go on a totally different tangent for a second. Just as I'm flipping through my collection, I wasn't totally like consciously aware of the all the different alternate art that they put in for the game, and I think that is so cool. Some of these arts are just fantastic, and I wanna get the extra ones, and I'm kind of sad that like the legendary ones are gonna be tough to get to, but Have y'all looked at the alternate arts for King Crush? There's a baby King Crush.
It's so cute.
Little tiny hatchling. I'm like, oh, killing me with this.
Wow, that's amazing. So
like that's just another part of my collector brain that I'm gonna have to go chasing down.
Yeah, I don't currently have King Crush, so I hadn't seen that, but that's super cute.
Yeah. Do you have to own them before you can look at all the portraits? Because I feel like I can't click on
No, you can.
I don't have
if you open the Merc and then click on the card while you're like looking at, you know, where you can see all their abilities and equipment, mm-hmm. click on the card itself and it shows you all the portraits. Yeah.
So if you do not have the card, it will not let you see their abilities or alternate portraits.
Oh.
Yeah, which is really sad. It just gives you like the crafting option.
Which, now that you say that was my next point, is the crafting option. Because, you know, 20 minutes ago I was like, oh, it's going to take me forever to get some of these things and there's way too many coins. I didn't realize that you could craft. That's probably something that was in the patch notes. But so for anyone else that apparently didn't read all the patch notes, it looks like it's either 300 or 500, depending on the rarity, which means there's probably another option that I'm just missing to craft.
Yeah, it's 100 for rare, 300 for epic, and then 500 for legendaries, which the 500 still feels really steep. That's still a lot of coins.
Yeah, I think it is, because even the most coins for any mercenary that I had came up to like, it was like 480 something, but I'd say on average I have between 1 and 200 coins, and that's for mercenaries that I own. And you can't choose. Yeah. You know, you can't choose what coins you get. So if you're looking for a specific legendary and it's just tossing you coins for, you know, the epic humans per se, right? Like you just SOL for a little while, because I don't know if there's a cap on the number of coins that it'll give you.
I think there's caps on like the amounts that you can get from packs, like for each pack, you know, when you open and it shows a little, there's a certain amount range that you can open in a pack, but I haven't heard of any kind of cap. Like I'm looking through mine right now, I actually have 1022 coins for Tams and Rome because I haven't used anything for her yet. I don't know of any like cap per se on like how many you can have at one time.
And so, like, that's cool because, you know, as you upgrade Tams and you'll be able to just use all those coins immediately, which is great for upgrading. Yeah. But, like, what if I'm never using Tams in Rome and I really want to unlock King Crush for a baby portrait?
Yeah. That is one thing. Like, there's no disenchanting. So you can't just, like you do with, you know, typical Hearthstone or, like, Wilds. And you're like, all right, cool. I'm not going to play these wild cards and I'm going to disenchant them and get something else. That's apparently not really a thing here, which I find a little odd, but maybe it's because they have the coins for specific mercenaries and not, you know, not like a general pool, just like they do for your normal collection.
Yeah, that might be a thing that they add.
They're kind of chasing the gacha model, right? Where, you know, there's no true exchange of the various in-game currencies. However, the more you play, the more stuff you get. And I think what's going to happen is there's a point where you'll have everything, right? If you play enough, if you spend money on the game, you will officially have a full collection. And then once the next wave of content comes out, what I think they don't want is people just being able to convert all of their stored up currency and then just buy up everything out of the new content and not really get the full experience of getting to replay the game with all the new content. So I think that's part of the design that they're going for with Mercs.
True. I can see that.
Yeah.
But also baby portraits.
Baby portraits.
Yeah. If that's the explanation, I actually do understand that, because the people that are ahead will simply stay ahead that way. Like, there will be no catching up if you play all the time and someone else doesn't play all the time, and then you've stocked up and then the new wave comes out. I mean, there's a lot of games that are set up that way on accident. You know, if you're in front and you're stacking up on currency when there's only one kind of in-game currency, you're just, you know, able to get all the new stuff immediately when it comes out. As far as accessibility goes, yes, that's fine. I'm interested to see, like, what kind of things come out, you know, for these new waves, because, like, 51 mercenaries, that's a decent amount. That is a decent amount, you know. It's
it's a lot.
or a lot even is, I mean, that's a better way to put it. If they keep coming out with more and more and more and more, you know, like what happens when someone has not unlocked the first 51, like potentially has the chance to never see a mercenary, which I guess wouldn't be, you know, entirely true because of the coins being able to craft them. So like eventually you would, and this is, again, if you haven't purchased any packs, did any pre-orders, anything like that.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. The starting bundles are, I think, reasonable. Like, if you couldn't shell out the 50 for the pre-order, like, 20 is, oh, okay. You know, you get some packs, you get some legendaries, and it kind of gives you a quick start on getting your collection moving.
Yeah, based on what's in them, I honestly, personally, would recommend them. I know this is kind of late in the episode to say that, but whether it's the welcome bundle or the launch bundle, I'd recommend them just because, I mean, the same way that having more legendaries and epics is good in any game mode, you know, just even the one, right? If you have one legendary more than you had before and you level that up, you know, to level 30 with the rest of your crew, that's going to give you, I wouldn't even necessarily say a slight advantage, but a more fun game experience. You know, you have your legendary to play with while you find everything else. It's reasonably priced. The $20 one, right, you get basically a pack for $1 plus the legendary and the epic, and the $5 one you get 50 cents a pack and then plus one legendary. Value wise, well done on those packs, I think.
Well, and the great thing is the packs follow the duplicate protection and like the same rules that all of the regular packs follow, which also means you're going to get a legendary in your first 10 packs. So basically that welcome bundle for the $5, you're getting the legendary with it, and then in those 10 packs you open, you're going to get another legendary because of the pack rules. So you're really paying $5 for, you know, the packs and two legendaries. So yeah, that for sure seems like a fantastic deal if you're even slightly interested in playing, or you just, you know, you don't want to put a bunch of money in, but, you know, hey, maybe if you can throw $5 in and start your collection.
And also, like, even if, you know, you don't get, you know, X legendaries, you know, for your value, this mode feels far less reliant on having, you know, some of those key collection items than Hearthstone does. Like, there's some Hearthstone decks you just can't build them without, you know, certain key cards.
Yeah.
But I feel like Mercenaries relies a lot more on your composition rather than the rarity of the cards that's actually in them. So, like, I feel like you can, if your comp is good, you can get as far or nearly as far with, you know, the rare, nothing but rare heroes as you would with, you know, something with epics and legendaries mixed in. I could be wrong about that, but I there's definitely some rare cards that I'm like, man, these guys are good. Like, I definitely want to keep these in my comps, like, for sure.
Yeah, I can confirm that. I ran into a... It was not a complete Murloc composition in one of my games that I was playing on ranked. I think it was like three of six. I love that sound. okay. But yeah, none of the Murlocs were legendary. And I basically got Rickrolled. I did it to myself because I went into to comp with an underleveled team. But it was quite apparent that, yeah, you do not need legendaries to win necessarily. Do they help? Sure, but also if you have a legendary with no synergy, that can also just get wiped off the board.
Yeah. Because like Rexxar, I have Rexxar's legendary, and I just kind of had that reflexive, oh, legendary, Rexxar is good. And you know what? He just wasn't working with my comp, and I ended up taking him out for a rare. I was like, you know what? Anaconda, get in there. I need somebody else. This is not working out.
That's one thing I think I'm really enjoying. I guess I didn't answer. Yeah, I've been having an absolute blast with the mode. Like, I did not want to stop playing. I did a 12-hour stream yesterday, and then we recorded Doctor 3, and we talked about Mercenaries, and I played, like, while we were recording, and then even after that, like, after recording, I logged off, and then I downloaded the patch on my phone and then played for it in bed. Like, I've been having a blast with it. And one of the things that I do like is what you mentioned. It's like, hey, you know, I don't really like this mercenary or whatever. I don't think it's working with the other ones I have. And I'm just going to switch that out. And it feels really cool to just be able to, like, mix them up however you want and be able to play. Whereas, and I think you can get more combos to work, whereas things like Standard or Wild, it doesn't feel like you can get as many of the combos to work well. I guess, like, you know, your deck has to be a little bit more specifically built, but at least so far in Mercenaries, especially for the PvE content, you can kind of just mix and match stuff and use their comp, you know, their abilities together. Be like, yeah, I want to do like a single target there, and then I'm gonna AoE here, even though they, you know, they don't seem like they would mesh well. But that's one thing that I've really been enjoying with Mercenaries so far.
Yeah, that's something I noticed about, you know, comps is, you know, that it's not as easy just to throw in six cards that all have, you know, the same traits and damage types. I found that like my better compositions, you know, at least at these lower levels, they tend to have overlapping synergies. Like the one I've been running through right now is a combination of stuff with fire and stuff with beasts, you know, and as a run progresses and I lose stuff, I actually kind of have to plan on, okay, Which heroes am I okay with losing, you know, in the early stages so that I can save the other ones later on for the boss? So there's like there's that extra layer of build strategy of like preparing for the attrition that you have to suffer through to get to the end of the end of the run.
Yeah. Okay. So have you, Cinder, have you unlocked or played any of the PvP yet?
I played one match in PvP and I felt grossly under-equipped and decided to just work on my collection for now.
Oh, no. Okay. Yeah, one thing I do want to mention before we talk a little bit more about it is one thing that's very interesting, I think, for Mercenaries is because of the, like, really in-depth matchmaking, and they put a blog post, we'll link that in the show notes, but the blog post talking about like the rating and the matchmaking system for Mercenaries, they talk about how they actually have incorporated an AI. So if it's in the blog post, it says basically if it's taking more than a minute to a minute and a half to find a match, then it will start compiling an AI opponent for you to get paired against. And that can last all the way up until around 7,000 external rating, which seems like so crazy. But I think that's kind of cool because even waiting like a minute and a half to 2 minutes feels kind of long for what we're used to for Hearthstone. So just being able to actually like, okay, cool. And this is a bot. And Simba, you were talking about with the PvE, but I think they really did it with the PvP. Like the bots do not feel like a bot really. Like they feel like they're smart, right? Like they're using the synergies. They, like I said, they're, you know, they follow the rules of the, hey, I'm going to attack this thing because it'll do the extra crit damage and it'll target things that they have low health of yours, for example, and try to kill things off. And so it really feels like it's smart. It's not just okay, cool, it's just I'm going to crush it because it's a bot. Like maybe, but it does feel smarter, which has been nice. And I think that I really like that feature because especially playing at the very start of launch when there's not as many people that have gotten to that point or unlocked it, it's nice to be able to be like, okay, cool, I'm still getting paired up and I can still try PvP and see how it feels, and I can still get some rating without actually waiting in queue for like 10 minutes or something or not finding a match at all.
That's super awesome. I don't know if I've run into a bot or not. I don't know how to tell or if it will let you know.
I think the bots pretty much, at least from what I've seen, if it's a bot, it'll say your opponent up at the top for their name.
Yes, that's correct.
And if it's confirmed, a person, it'll
say. I saw
say,
that on Twitter.
Okay, yeah. And then if it's an actual player, it'll have their player name up there.
Okay. Well, I don't think I ran into a bot, but it does make me happy to know that they're smart bots. I enjoy having to try at all times.
I can confirm my first match in PvP, the bot whipped my ass. Maybe I'm bad at PvP, but it was not easy. I they still had three mercs and I was wiped. So,
well, I mean, you know, maybe your comp was not great against what
yeah,
they had,
but probably.
Now I forgot what I was gonna say. Ooh, that's great.
Rain.
It's been interesting. So I played a ton of the PvP yesterday, which was the first day, and I got up to like 4,500 rating, but I'm still facing a lot of bots, which is interesting. Like, okay, I'm queuing, but I was watching Frozen stream and he's at like just under 7,000, and he was in like 5, 7, 8 minute queue times. Oh, wow. Waiting for people, which I was like, oh my gosh. But I do feel like that's going to get better, like the longer the game mode is out and more people are playing PvP, not like immediately when it came out.
Yeah, I like the PvP. I'd probably tell people to stay in PvE for a little while longer than you'd want. But I don't know if there's any XP gain difference in PvP versus PvE. Like, do you gain an exponential amount more for winning in PvP or playing in PvP? Because if so, then dabbling in it is not a terrible idea, right? You might pull off an accidental win and get a solid amount of XP for your mercs, which could then, you know, help you in the PvE content. But I would say that focusing on the PvE, maybe just for a little while, right? Like, I'm ambitious and impatient. It's literally, like we said, been a day. I shouldn't be needing to have PvP content already. Do the PvE stuff.
it is more you get more coins than you do for a run, you know, at least based on how many times, you know, you play a match, you know, as in a bounty, you'll play between 2 and 6 encounters, right? And before you get your coins. PvP, you get, as soon as you finish the match, you get the coins. So you'll get more win or lose. So it is worth the time if you want to accelerate your grind a little bit. The only thing is, I don't remember if the mercs level in the PvP pit.
Yeah, they do.
They do?
Okay. Still, yep. And I felt like it was actually faster because I was trying to level up some more mercs. So I took, like, I got, I think, 4 or 6 so far to 30. And then I switched out 3 of them. And I was leveling them up, and it felt like it was going so slowly in PvE. And then I switched over to PvP, and even at level 26 and 27, I busted through like 3 levels and got them all to 29 much faster than it felt like than PvE.
See, that is information that I am excited to hear, and that is good to know. So thank you for that. Yeah, because.
Yeah.
You're not always going to win in PvP, especially not this early on. But if you do, and it does boost the XP gains that much more, like, that's worth it.
Yeah, and I think
and
you're
getting
also
rewards
get more...
even if you lose too. So
yeah. I think also for the PvE, I think the heroic stuff gives you more XP and more rewards as well.
Okay.
So if you're looking to do the PvE, you don't want to play against players, or you know, you don't want to spend more gold on unlocking the pit, you can spend the gold to upgrade the travel point to get that heroic, and then you can do that. You get better rewards, and some of the fights I think offer different coins as well. So if you're looking to grind for like a certain mercenary for their coins, then that's definitely an option.
I have learned quite a bit today.
There's
that's
a
what
lot
the show's about.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. It'll get even deeper as we go. I'm confident of that. There's once we get into some of the like quote unquote in game content, like the puzzle building begins, right? That's when you start having to really get deep into like comps and synergies and figuring out what the best mercs are for the best bounties. So we're gonna get there. This is the easy stuff right now. Wait until we get into the higher level stuff.
Oh my gosh, this is the easy stuff. Oh. I'm so ready. I'm ready for the hard stuff then, because the easy stuff has been amazing.
Okay, I'm gonna leave that in the recording for this.
Please,
it's too good.
Thank you. I didn't have a button for like the drum cymbal clash, but if I did, I would have pressed it.
Oh, all right. Yeah. You know what? Added to the list. I will find us a rimshot clip for the soundboard.
You know, I was just saying on stream this morning that streaming and doing this podcasting has made me realize how many things that I say that can definitely I probably should not say them the way that I say them. And that's just a great example. I just say things that I'm like, ooh, yeah, that didn't sound right. Maybe I should rephrase that. It's fine.
You know, it's fine. It's okay. It's fine. Yeah, you're not as bad as pro football commentators. Okay, there, that's some of the worst. Accidental innuendo I possibly hear. Right, say something funny. You're on the spot. Say something funny.
Me? Oh, I am not funny. At least not intentionally.
It was kind of funny. I'll be honest with you. Say something funny. I'm not funny. I'm just not funny. I don't really know what funny is. I just say things. I meant what I said when I said it. You heard me. Yeah.
So
that's right.
That it sounds like a Woody Allen. Like I'm not really that funny. I don't, you know, it's not, I'm not trying to make jokes. It just comes out that way. And you know,
it comes out that way. And then I just have to laugh at myself because it sounds ridiculous. But when I said that I'm not funny, at least not intentionally, from across the room, my husband just put a thumbs up in the air because he tells me all the time, just... I'm not funny. Yeah. Oh, gosh. Okay. Well, so going back to mercenaries.
And we back.
We're back.
We back.
I don't know, though. I feel like for me personally, I was expecting to like the game mode, but I feel like I've really liked it a lot because I feel like there's actually a lot of depth. Like both of you were talking about, where when you really get into like the higher end PvP, it's just going to become this gigantic puzzle. And I'm really excited for that and to see how people shift their strategies and what people say is like, oh, this is good. And then, you know, the week after that, it'll be like, oh no, that's bad now. This is good. And, you know, this other thing is good now. And use this equipment piece and that's better. You know, I'm excited for that. I think it's going to be really cool to see how it changes and shifts and how people figure things out.
Yeah. Big same. I'm ready to get into the deep weeds on team composition. That's going to be the fun thing for me, I think.
Yeah. I'm just ready to keep playing it. Like I feel like I know so much and pretty much basically nothing, like we just said, you know. We're into it not at all. I wanna do some leveling. I wanna beat some things. I wanna see what the heroic mode is like, first and foremost. Like, what is heroic, yeah, right? Is it just baby normal? Or, you know, do I need to run through normal a few times to actually even be competitive in heroic? And also there's a lot of content there. You know, in the travel point, right? Barrens, Fellwood, Winterspring, and Blackrock Mountain. All just already there waiting to be unlocked. And it's like, that's more than I expected.
Mm-hmm.
Personally, to be thrown out there just outright, I did not expect 4 full things. Even though you have to unlock them, you know, by completing the one before it. But I think that's also a good way to do that.
And each bounty or each area has... Each area and each difficulty, you know, should have... If Barrens has 9, I'm expecting them to all have, you know, 9... So 9x2, 18, 18x4 is 70, 72 different bounties to start with in the game for you to complete. That's, man, there's some completionists out there that are going to, you know, they're going to eat this up.
And the continued rewards. So that is a good one, right? If you go back in to the Barrens normal mode and you hit level 4, you're still going to get some coins. You're not going to get an insane amount of coins, but you're still going to get coins. And I like that a lot. You know, I'm not expecting to get 300 coins when I finish, but it doesn't feel like I'm just doing it for levels because I also get coins.
Yep. That's a good point because you can also, like, you can maneuver it whichever way you want, I guess, would be like, or you can kind of do both at the same time. And that we haven't even mentioned also the like task board at the campfire. Cause I feel like I've also been doing a lot of tasks and, if you're playing through some of the PvE stuff, if you get the, like, it looks kind of like a little swirly symbol on there, but the mystery, sometimes it'll be a mysterious stranger. And if you actually get that, that allows you to choose, it shows 3, kind of like a discover option almost. And you get to pick one of the 3 mercenaries that it shows, and it's going to show mercenaries that are in your party. You get to pick one of those and it'll give you a new task on the board for them. So then it's like, okay, well now I got this new task for, like, let's say, you know, Diablo. And now do I want to play Diablo and use that ability so I can complete the task while I'm doing this PvE? You know, and it's kind of a cool mashup, I feel like, because then you can go back and just play the, you know, play whatever bounty you want for coins or for experience or for completing tasks and... it feels like you're getting something every time, no matter what you're doing.
Oh yeah, I like that as well. I hit one of those little swirls earlier, and my bounty board was full at the campfire, and it just gave me 15 coins for the character that I chose. So that was awesome. I didn't feel like I hit it and lost out. I don't know what I was expecting number of coins wise, but I was like 15 coins for essentially doing nothing, right? Because there's no encounter. I just walked into it and it was like, okay, you chose this guy. Here's 15 coins. I was like, cool. Thank you very much. I appreciate this greatly. But that doesn't, you know, incentivize me to keep my board full. Like I still want to complete those all the time. I just happened to have 4 at the time.
You know, I gotta thank y'all for reminding me about the campfire because, you know, I was hitting it and then I kind of forgot about it. And now I'm remembering like, oh, hey, look, I have tasks to do. Here's Flurry of Ice, the old 40 damage using Flurry. And like Varden is just staring at me like, am I a joke to you?
Do you think
why
this
don't
is
you
a
have
game?
Me in your comps yet? So it is a game, Varden. So yeah, so, you know, so again, it like encourages you to go back and try different comps. Like, you know, I haven't thought of an ice comp yet. So now I'm going to go back and do that.
Yes. Actually, that reminds me to remind everybody as well, with those tasks, you do have to go back to your task board and hit claim to, like, yes. For the story part, you have to hit claim before you unlock the next one. So I have heard some people forgot about that or didn't know that. And then they had to go back and do a whole bunch of the bounties again because they didn't realize. My husband was one of them, so he was telling me all about that, that he had to do some of those multiple times. So, yes, don't forget to do that. But one cool thing is that in the bounties at the very bottom, when you like the very bottom space is the little campfire. So you can click that and it'll actually bring up the bounty board without taking you out of that bounty. So you can claim those completed ones and then just close out of that and you'll be in that bounty on that map still. So that's cool. I like that.
I like it a lot too. I'm not sure what else we have left. We talked about a ton of positives. The only negative that I have, and this is not a major one, but it's something that hopefully someone will take a look at, is while you're in a bounty, you know, when you beat someone and then it gives you options for your mercenary to get a little bonus, whether it's a bonus move or a passive bonus, whatever. I wish that while you were in that, it gave you the option, like when you're choosing in standard, how you can go back and look at the board to help you pick what to choose in case you've forgotten what's on the board or there's, you know, literally a full board and you don't remember what's on there. It's like, I want to go back and scroll through and see, you know, what encounters I have coming up next. You know, am I even going to use this mercenary? Does it matter? Am I going to hit a spirit healer on the way? You know, like, what is that? Because I'm sort of picking blind if I haven't been paying attention or if I haven't been using that mercenary, because that happened one time. I'm using 3 mercenaries to start with pretty much every time. And the bonus it gave me was on one that I hadn't. And I was like, okay, I've not used this character at all. You know, do I pick something? Does it matter what I pick? If so, do I need to play them, you know, the next time I hit an encounter or what? And I was like, I guess I'll just pick blind.
Yeah.
I have no complaints right now, except that I'm mad that mercenaries had to launch like when I have multiple things going on in my life right now. It's like, I need more time. Like I need sleep and food and money.
All of the above, please. Yes. Thank you.
All of the above. Yeah. No. Yeah. I agree with you, Simba. I think that would be cool to have like the hide option like they do for discover options. So you could see the board a little bit. And also I think the only, these almost feel nitpicky to me, yeah. But I have a lot of experience playing WoW. Like I played WoW for years and I still don't even know 100% which of the mercenaries they would consider Horde and Alliance. Like for me, those options I've just been flat out ignoring because I'm like, well, I don't know if they'd actually classify these as Horde or Alliance or not, and I don't want to pick that and only apply right to now. Like one thing.
I have also been ignoring those.
Well, I punched in Horde in the search and Garrosh came up, but he's the only one that came up. Let's see if I type in Alliance.
I know that
nobody comes up, so. Nah.
Well, I shouldn't say that I know because I don't, but I'm pretty sure Alliance has to do with like caster, fighter, protector, and I do want to put emphasis on pretty sure. I don't know, because then like horde. It worked one time. I was trying to like run orcs and be cute, and like that worked. Like all the orcs got buffed, but I don't know if that's only for orcs. Like, does horde mean class? I don't know.
Well,
these are my guesses.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like horde and alliance obviously are from World of Warcraft.
Yeah.
And yeah. So like orcs generally, you know, they are horde characters, but it feels like a little bit of a disconnect for that to be in mercenaries, because even people who, you know, have that WoW knowledge, if they're even saying like, I don't want to pick that because I don't know which mercenaries are classified as horde or alliance or which ones aren't. I can't imagine how the people who have no idea what that means feel. They probably looked at it and they're like, what the hell is this? Like, I don't, you know. Yeah, what is that? And there's no indication on them. And yeah, I guess typing horde and alliance doesn't really do much in the...
Yeah, they're not tagged for horde or alliance.
And even in my example, you know, like with orcs or humans or whatever, like what do you do when you have Gruul, right? Gruul doesn't have a tag. I don't know if you guys have looked at that, but Gruul has no tag.
Yeah.
At all. So like
no try.
You know, my guess could just be proven incorrect right there, because there's no tribe for Gruul. He's just there.
Yeah. So
the whole idea of a mercenary is that they work for anybody, right?
Yes,
so
quite literally.
You know, they don't necessarily they yeah.
That's a good point. I didn't think about it like logistic lore wise like that, but that's true.
I mean, also, like, Ragnaros is not going to, like, you know, just sell his fireballs to the lowest bidder. I mean, it's...
Please,
I wouldn't call
it
lore
accurate.
Press
the button.
Yeah,
press it. Press the button. Sorry. I'm going to go now.
Wait, what? What did I do?
I said Rag wasn't going to give his fireballs.
Did I miss a joke? Should I hit the...
Ignore me.
Hey.
Oh, God. I love it. It's not just me.
Yeah, I was like, I don't know if I'll give you useful information, but I will make you laugh.
If that's the only thing this show does, I'm going to call it a success.
Yes. On that same note, I think if those are the things that we're feeling negative about, I feel like this is a great mode. Like, if those are like, yeah, I wish this was different. Those seem like very small things to kind of be... saying are quote unquote bad.
Yeah, it's like stuff that you'd bring up in a team.
It's been an overall very good experience.
Yeah.
Yes. All right. Any closing thoughts from either of you before we go into our wrap up and closing here?
I don't actually have any. I think I need to get farther into PvP. I need to, you know, unlock items. I need to have at least one mercenary be level 30 before I can have any deeper thoughts. As of right now, I'm just enjoying everything as much as I can.
Yeah, I'm just gonna close my recording and go play, basically.
yes, I'm gonna go cast a mercenaries tournament, so I'm gonna be getting in that call in like an hour after we finish this, so I can talk about that next week. I'm excited to cast and see how people have kind of figured out. I don't even want to say figured out, but what people are planning for PvE stuff right now. Yeah. But yes, so. Thank you, everybody, for joining us for this episode. And if you want to get in touch with us, you can find the show on YouTube, everywhere that you can find audio podcasts, on Twitter at Spirit Healer Pod. You can email us at spirithealerpodcast@gmail.com and join our Discord for some mercenaries discussions and happenings in there. And we also want to thank Equinox by... thank... Wow. I'm really on a roll. We want to thank Purple Cat for the use of the music that you hear. So thank you so much. And if you are looking for more from each of us, you can find me on Twitter at DonnieDK. That's DawnieDK. And Twitch and YouTube at DragonRiderDK. And where can folks find you, Cinder?
Pretty much all on the Twitter. It's at Cinder Ascendant, all one word. Or ping us in the Discord. Don't forget, folks, we got a Discord, and we want you to help us grow it. So come stop by the Spirit Healer Discord and say hello.
Yeah, definitely join that Simba link. You find Simba on all platforms at Simba with two I's, SIIMBA TV _ Instagram, Twitter, Twitch. And you can find me on Discord in the Spirit Healer Discord.
Yay! Awesome. Well, thank you all again. Thank you for choosing us as your resting place of choice. And we hope you have a good time in the Mercenaries Village. We'll see you all next week.
Thanks for stopping by. See you next time at the Spirit Healer.
I just want to